where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
I will get to the Fed meeting at the end of this podcast, but first I want to propose the question. Will there be a real estate crash worse than 2008? I often talk about the bubbles that exist in bonds and stocks and the extreme valuation levels found there. But I want to emphasize that the real estate market is dysfunctional right now and sits on the edge of a cliff as well. While I do often mention that home price to income ratio is the highest level on record, I have not mentioned the cost of home ownership versus renting. Buying a home is now 50% more expensive than just being a renter. The previous peak of this metric was leading up to the real estate crash and global financial crisis of 2008. It was just 33% more expensive to buy rather than to rent back then. According to the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta, annual homeownership payments, which include taxes and insurance, ate up 46.4% of the median household income as of the last data available in October, which is at a record high. The pre-COVID figure for reference was just 29% of median household income. The COVID mortgage forbearance program for FHA-insured mortgages and reverse mortgages ended on November 30th, 2023. These people have not made a mortgage payment since early 2020, and 15%, 1/5, of all mortgages are FHA-insured. This will not only abet in the slowing of the economy, but also help increase the supply of homes on the market, which should put downward pressure on prices. The latest sales data shows that cracks are already appearing in the foundation. The median new home sales price fell by 18% year over year in October. Free money encouraged Wall Street to buy up single-family homes to a greater degree than ever before, which drove up the prices out of reach of the first-time home buyer. Then Wall Street rented these homes out to people who could no longer afford to own them. How nice. According to the National Association of Realtors, only 23% of homes in the United States are affordable to first-time buyers at this time. That number was 50% 1 year ago. With 20 to 25% of all homes now being of the investment variety, the real estate market is indeed on thin ice. The salient danger here is that the supply of homes for sale could surge when the unemployment rate begins to rise. You see, once people lose their jobs, they can no longer afford to pay their rent. Wall Street investors will then realize real estate investments are no longer such a great bargain once the cash flow stops and the price of their homes begins to fall. There could then be a rush to cash out on the massive price appreciation enjoyed over the past few years. You know, just to try to lock that in. That would make a lot of sense. The truth of the matter is that the real estate market is frozen over. The demand for new mortgages is down 20% year over year. By the way, pending home sales in October dropped 8.5% year over year to the lowest level since the National Association of Realtors began tracking them in 2001. Yes, that includes the time during the Great Recession and real estate crash of 2008. Where rubber meets the road here is that the entire banking system is largely insolvent. And this is before the loan book and the defaults start to spike. Banks' mortgages, their assets, are paying less than they must offer to keep depositors from fleeing. According to Whalen Global Advisors, 54% of all U.S. mortgages have a rate between 2.5% and 4%. And that must compete with a T-bill rate that is north of 5%. Just wait until the recession hits. Of course, the problem is the real estate market is not limited to single-family homes. Commercial real estate is a huge issue as well, and in a much worse situation than it was leading up to the Great Recession. Commercial mortgage-backed securities, suffer from the same sharp rise in interest rates over the past 2 years as does residential MBS. But in addition, commercial property values have fallen due to the work from home phenomenon that has resulted from improvements in technology and changes in the desires of the post-COVID labor force. The coming recession will only exacerbate the decline in the value of these properties across the board. The broken real estate market reveals the true fragility of the U.S. economy. The major difference between 2008 and today is that inflation is above the Fed's target level, and the U.S. government is in much deeper state of insolvency. Therefore, a massive fiscal and monetary rescue package, anything close to the size that was necessary to bail out the financial system and markets during the global financial crisis, has become an untenable solution. The amount of debt needed to be issued by the Treasury and then monetized by the Fed would be catastrophic for bond yields and cause inflation to skyrocket. Please understand that inflation is still not, I mean, despite what you might have heard from today's press conference from Powell, it is still nowhere near the Fed's target. This would do little in the way of bailing out the real estate crisis 2.0, and even less for the economy. History has proven, history is clear, borrowing costs must be about 200 basis points above the rate of CPI in order to win the fight against inflation. With headline CPI still running at 3%, slightly above that, and core CPI at 4%, interest rates should remain at the current 5% plus level until inflation is fully vanquished. I hope Powell has the guts to do that, but hope is not an investment process. I think he's going to blink way before then. But the damage has already been done. If you want to know the real reason why Powell blinked, see, the problem is that Janet Yellen must have, you know, tugged him on the jacket and said, hey, listen, buddy, the U.S. fiscal situation becomes untenable under such a positive real interest rate regime that we have now. Therefore, Mr. Powell, I used to have your job. Believe me, I know how to be a dove, and you're going to have to become a dove quickly. Because the U.S. can choose to either fight inflation adequately and pay over $1 trillion per year on interest payments alone on the national debt, which would only exacerbate the Treasury's insolvent condition. And then that would risk a series of perpetually failing bond auctions. That's tactic number one. Save the middle class and the country in the long run, but a lot of pain in the middle. Or, Ms. Yellen told Mr. Powell, lower interest rates rather quickly and watch inflation run intractable as it destroys the standard of living of the average American consumer. But who cares? We'll be fine. Our houses and our bank accounts and our stock portfolios, we'll be fine. And then we'll just lie about inflation. We'll do some more hedonics and substitutional changes, and then we'll lie to the American middle class if it's there any longer, how inflation is under control, even though you can't afford to eat or heat your home any longer. The decisions made by government require very different trading strategies. Is it going to be a pursuit of deflation and then a pursuit of inflation to bail us out as it's been in the past? I absolutely feel that's the case. For now, we are allocated in a defensive posture while we wait for the signal to get net short the market. Financial conditions and credit spreads remain far too quiescent to have any equity shorts. That has been the signal. Thank God I followed that. Therefore, we remain patient. Physical gold is a key holding in our portfolio. We are now investing in 1 to 3 year treasury notes, not overnight, zero duration T-bills to capture some of that convexity with bond prices. And we also get a lot of safety on the short end of the yield curve. That remains the case. And we have defensive, non-economically sensitive equities still net long the market. That's the best way that I see to ride out whatever remains of this bear market bounce. Oh, Mr. Pinto, you say even after today that this is a bear market bounce? Absolutely 100%. Judging by the panic move at today's Federal Open Market Committee's press meeting and conference, the dot plot for rate hikes going from one more rate hike, then to zero, and now three rate cuts next year, it is clear that Powell and the rest of his contemptuous cohort of counterfeiters have suddenly become aware that the economy is already faltering and would completely collapse without a pivot to an easier monetary policy. Yay! They haven't cut yet, but they're just not hiking anymore. That reminds me of something. Let me hearken back to, say, 2007? The Fed was cutting rates in the summer of 2007, not just stopping to hike rates. They were cutting rates already in the summer of 2007. And how did that end? And they, oh, by the way, they cut them from 5.25%. And that's where we are right now. I believe the Fed will likely be cutting borrowing costs far too little, far too late. The history is unambiguously clear on this. The damage has been done. Next week, I will try to prove why the recession and phase two of the bear market is still firmly on the agenda for 2024.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you are not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.